Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 24th day of May, 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson out of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. The state statisticians from Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota will be here with updates from their regions. We'll discuss the weather forecast, too, that with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And along the way, talk a bit about the agricultural energies and what's been happening there with Dan O'Brien. He's from K-State Extension out in Kansas on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
That's the way the numbers finished up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures like this for the day. July contract in the corn pit, a quarter of a cent lower at $3.97.5. September at $4 even, up a quarter. December unchanged at $4.02¾. And the March corn at $4.09¼, down a half. The May contract a penny lower at $4.12¼. July at $4.15, down 1½¢. Soy complex, July futures, $10.54¾, down 3¾¢. The August contract at $10.53, down 4¾¢. And September down 6¢ at $10.39¼. November beans $10.29¼, 7¢ lower for the day. January, that's for next year, at $10.26½, down 7¢. Bean oil futures in the July contract at $30.89, 26¢ lower. And the August there at $31.02, down 24. A July bean meal up $1.20 at $3.88.90. The August at $3.76.40, down $1.10. Soft red winter wheat for the day in Chicago at $4.64, up 2¢. September at $4.75, also 2 higher. And the hard red July, a half lower at $4.46½. September at $4.62¾, down ¼¢. Live cattle futures for the day nearby July, or rather June contract at $117.80, down 35. August at $113.10, down $1.35 as well. May feeder cattle at $45.97½, down $1.25. And the August at $142.15, down $1.27½. Lean hogs, June contract at $79.70, up 62½¢ per 100 pounds. July up 2½ at $79.32½. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, July contract at $48.70 a barrel, up 62 cents. Ethanol futures, $1.62¾¢. That's a penny and 0.3¢ higher. Heating oil for the day at $1.49¢. That's a penny and 0.4¢ higher. And gasoline on the wholesale price at $1.65¢. They're just about unchanged. Natural gas at $1.98¢ is down 6½¢. Dow Jones Industrial average now stands at 17,681, up 211 points. The U.S. dollar at 95.575 is up 0.359, and gold futures on the afternoon at $1,228.40, down $23.10. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for this evening. A 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Those will come after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy, a low of 64 degrees tonight. South winds at 6 to 9 tomorrow. 50% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy. We'll go to a high of 82. The south winds will continue at 7 to 15 miles an hour, gusting to 21. And then Wednesday evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely, mostly cloudy, and a low of 67 degrees on Wednesday night. Again, those south winds at 9 to 14, gusting to 18. Chance of rainfall on Wednesday evening set at 60%. On Thursday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, and a high of 85 degrees. Friday, showers and thunderstorms are likely, 60% chance, mostly cloudy at the high of 82. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. We're joined now by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Thanks for being with us today. Tell me a little bit about what happened in the marketplace.
Well, the overnight trade started out and sold off when the Dalian market went down quite hard. It seemed like there was a lot of liquidation over there. Their bean meal turned around and went down, and we were down when we come in this morning here that way on that. And then when we reopened, we seemed to have found some buying in the American market. As we looked at things, we saw an announcement for some bean sales. We saw an announcement of 140,000 metric tons of beans down known. So that and our meal turned around and was positive, and we rallied. And then here about in the last hour, why we turned around and skidded down as the dollar pushed on a little higher and saw the markets move back down for the day, but not down as much as we were when we came in this morning.
And what are your thoughts as we look through to the rest of the week?
Well, I think, you know, we've got a couple things really happening. We sort of got a reprieve from rain for most of tomorrow, and looks like we get another day to try to get some corn and beans in the ground, at least here in Indiana and Ohio, as the market moves across there. That's a little bit negative, but we also had a couple of bean processing plants that are down for a few days for repairs, and that upped the bean meal basis level, and that was one of the things that helped push the bean meal on up and sort of keeping the bottom under this bean market. You know, we're going to go into a three-day weekend, and we've seen a little profit taking, you know, going into it, and I think that when we get down to levels sort of like what we're seeing here, a little below, I think that we're going to see some bargain buying and defending by some of the funds for their long positions.
What are your thoughts on the corn market?
On the corn market, the corn is staying very strong. Our export sales continue to do real well. We've got a lot of area in the east, that eastern corn belt, that needs to skid into the ground. There's a lot of places that are a little spotty and talking about needing to do some replanting along the way and how many acres are actually going to get switched to beans. And I think we're going to sort of keep a bottom under the corn market here for now. I don't think we're going to just fall out a bit as far as the corn market goes.
Anything else we need to check for the day?
Well, did we make a V-bottom in these cattle after they sold off all week? We did see a little recovery into the end of the day, and I think maybe we're going to gain back a little bit in that cattle market here as we go on the rest of the week.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Just a couple of quick items in today's agricultural news. Deer & Company has announced its tightened conditions for equipment leasing as lower farm incomes are leading farmers to lease rather than purchase equipment. Dow Jones reports that the fall in worldwide commodity prices has eaten into deer sales and profits for 9 straight quarters. The farm and construction machinery market slump has impacted Deere's customer finance arm. Leases now account for a growing volume of business, forcing the company to tighten the terms for renting equipment that is rapidly depreciated in value. Leases make up a quarter of the company's financing deals, compared with 15% in recent years. As Deere has stepped up its leasing activity in recent years, its finance units and dealers are left with more used equipment as producers walk away when their leases expire. Deere says it's restructuring leases to share more of the risk of further declines with its dealers. Monsanto has issued a statement on glyphosate renewal in the European Union. The EU member states recently delayed a vote on the renewal of glyphosate. Monsanto says the EU's risk assessment on glyphosate has been one of the most thorough reviews of an agricultural product ever conducted. The risk assessment conducted by Germany and reviewed by the European Food Safety Agency included more than 90,000 pages of data. It also had 353 reports that had not been reviewed previously by the EU. Monsanto feels like the assessment considered the best available science and found no evidence of unreasonable risk. In addition, the WHO, the World Health Organization, Food and Agriculture Organization, meeting on pesticide residue again reaffirmed that glyphosate is unlikely to pose a carcinogenic risk to humans exposed through their diets. And finally today, something to put into your calendar. The Extension scientists right here on this campus in Urbana-Champaign have scheduled their annual field day. The Weed Science Tour is set for Wednesday, June the 29th, says Aaron Hager.
It'll be at the South Farm. We'll begin the program at roughly somewhere 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. It'll be very similar in terms of format to what we've done before. We'll all gather around the South Farm at the Seed House for a few introductory remarks and comments. And then everybody will get back into their vehicles and we'll carpool across Windsor Road and look at some of the research plots that we have on the animal science tracks.
Again, the 2016 University of Illinois Weed Science Field Day is Wednesday, June the 29th, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus on the South Farms. I'll tell you more about that later. The cost is $10. It opens at 8 a.m. The tour, of course, will provide ample opportunity to look at research plots and interact with weed science faculty, staff, some graduate students as well. Participants can compare their favorite corn and soybean herbicide programs to other commercial programs and get an early look at a few new products that soon will be on the market. Again, the date is June the 29th. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. USDA's May 23rd weekly crop progress and condition report shows farmers in the eastern part of the Corn Belt are lagging behind. Unplanted acres there can be inferred from the reported numbers. Former University of Illinois agricultural economist John Newton, whom you may follow on Twitter, has done the math. Nationally, 50 million acres of corn, he says, and soybeans remain unplanted. About 5 million of those are corn acres in Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. 12.5 million acres of soybeans have yet to be sown in those three states. Given that, USDA's report shows 86% of the corn around the nation has been planted. This is nearly on pace with the rolling five-year average. 60% of the crop is up and growing. That's 5 points ahead of average. 56% of the soybeans are planted and 22% have emerged. Those numbers are both close to average. The winter wheat crop, which came out of dormancy about 3 weeks early, remains ahead of the game. 75% of the crop is now headed. Normally that number is 66%. The condition of the crop this week is the same as last, with 30% fair, 51% good, and 11% excellent. Now, here are the statisticians from Indiana, Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa with their regional updates.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Region. There were scattered reports of corn being replanted in the northern third of Iowa. 96% of the corn crop has been planted. That's 2 days ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn emerged reached 75%. On pace with last year, but 4 days ahead of the average. The first corn condition rating of the season was 4% very poor to poor, 23% fair, 73% good to excellent. Soybean planting reached 74% complete almost a week ahead of last year, and 21% of the soybeans have emerged. That's 2 days behind last year, but equal to the average. Livestock conditions were described as generally good, with some feedlots starting to dry up. That is the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending May 22, 2016. I'm Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Todd Ballard, Deputy Director with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, serving Illinois. Corn and soybean emergence was slowed by the cooler-than-normal temperatures. Statewide, the temperature was 58.1 degrees, 7 degrees below normal. Corn planting increased to 89% complete, slightly behind the average of 91%. The Southeast District is only at 39% planted due to wet field conditions. Soybeans planted reached 51% last week compared to the five-year average of 55%, while soybeans emerged reached 20%, 5 points behind the average. Winter wheat headed was at 88% compared to 78% for the five-year average. Oat planting increased to 94% compared to 95% last year, and 95% for the five-year average. Statewide precipitation averaged 0.39 inches, 0.51 inches below normal. Corn condition was rated at 2% very poor, 5% poor, 24% fair, 54% good, and 15% excellent. Winter wheat condition was rated at 3% very poor, 5% poor, 33% fair, 50% good, and 9% excellent. Topsoil moisture was rated as 3% short, 71% adequate, and 26% surplus. This has been Todd Ballard with the Heartland Region of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, serving Illinois.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Limited precipitation allowed for 6 days suitable for field work during the week. That's the most days so far this season. Producers took advantage of the conditions to wrap up corn planting and planted 23% of the soybean crop during the week. The previous week's frost had little impact on the corn crop, with 65% rated in good to excellent condition. There were isolated reports of minimal replanting. Field activities for the week included planting, applying herbicides, and cutting hay. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 4% very short, 18% short, 71% adequate, and 7% surplus. Reports in the southern part of the state indicate that there were some wet spots in the fields, but in many areas of the state, farmers are hoping for a good soaking rain to counter the rapidly drying conditions. Corn reached 78% emerged. That's 11 days ahead of the five-year average, but 3 days behind last year. The first corn condition rating of the year was estimated at 0% very poor, 3% poor, 32% fair, 55% good, and 10% excellent. Soybean planting was 86% complete, that's 16 days ahead of average and just ahead of last year. 33% of the soybean crop had emerged, that's a week ahead of average, but 2 days behind last year. Spring wheat was 90% emerged, that's 17 days ahead of average, but 5 days behind last year. 15% of the spring wheat acreage was at or beyond the jointing stage, that's 3 days ahead of average. The spring wheat condition was rated at 70% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. A break in the weather allowed farmers in central and northern Indiana to finally make significant progress with corn and soybean plantings. The statewide average temperature for the week was 56.5 degrees, 7.5 degrees below normal. Corn planted was 62% complete, compared to 84% last year and 77% five-year average. Regionally, corn planted was 72% in the north, 65% in central, and 35% in the south. Corn emerged was 39% complete, compared to 56% last year and 52% five-year average. Some fields had to be replanted due to the oversaturated soils from the previous rains. However, the mild weather has helped to green up the emerged corn. There were some reports of pythium in corn stands. Winter wheat headed was 74% complete, compared to 53% last year and 58% five-year average. There were some head scab and rust present in the wheat crop. Overall, wheat is 74% in good to excellent condition and continues to progress ahead of last year and the five-year average. Soybeans were 31% planted this week, compared to 52% last year and 50% five-year average. By region, soybeans planted was 40% complete in the north, 36% in central, and 9% in the south. Soybeans were 10% emerged, compared to 21% last year and 25% five-year average. Although planting progress remains behind schedule, farmers were able to move forward and narrow the gap. Weed pressure remains present in crop fields. Other activities this week included spreading herbicide, applying fertilizer, hauling grain, working on equipment, and mowing roadsides. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending May 22, 2016. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the state statisticians for their updates of the weekly crop progress reports. Now let's turn our attention to what's been happening in the agricultural cash, energy markets. And we're joined by Dan O'Brien. He's at K-State Extension. Thanks, Dan, for being with us today.
Yes, hello, Todd. How's it going?
Very, very well. So let me ask you just what your overall view of this marketplace is for the moment.
Well, things are dynamically changing. I guess we should expect that in agriculture. You know, here It wasn't that long ago. In April, we were in the doldrums price-wise, and now with some changing in information and sentiments, now we're seeing corn prices on the futures anyway over $4. And I noticed over in your area, looking at cash prices at the at ethanol plants, you're up at about, well, 380 to 403, and that's actually a little bit higher than in Iowa or in Kansas. So, and DDG prices have moved to the higher side now as well. And of course, since last time we talked, the EPA made an announcement about their projections on usage, or what they'll allow to be used, I guess, for ethanol usage to the renewable fuel standard. And then and at the same time, we've been seeing in general some, I think, reports of decent, at least hopes for pretty good improved exports of DDGs. And as we look at the profitability of ethanol plants and biodiesel plants, it seems that even with all the movement around and a little bit higher corn prices, that ethanol plants are still break even to losing just a few cents per gallon, which, given how tough things could be, is a positive note. And biodiesel numbers, if our numbers are right, and you always wonder, when anytime you show a profit in agriculture, you want to make sure you're calculating things correctly. But it sounds like, or seems like, biodiesel profitability, at least for the last 1 or 2 months, has been pretty positive. So all these are interesting times, and a far cry from the pretty down in the mouth pessimistic view we had of things just off into, well, not too far back in the past, in February and March.
EPA, of course, announcing last week its numbers for ethanol across the United States. It's used in gasoline. What are your thoughts as it will impact the 2016-17 growing season and corn usage?
Well, I think when you look at what the projections are, I look back and look at where we were about 2010 and the trajectory that we were to have if we'd have stayed on the original statutes, it would be, yes, higher than where we're at now. But for the sake of political issues, political pressures, whatever, now since about 14.1 billion billion gallons of capacity we had in that year, we've been moving up to 14.9, 14.8, 14.9, 15.1, 15.5, 15.6. So we're at least moving, for the sake of the ethanol industry, moving to the higher side. And you know, I think that, along with what the USDA projected coming out of their, in that last May WASDE report, with an ethanol production number, I believe, if I look at that real quick, ethanol production number of 5.3 billion bushels, and that would be a record high. And that we had 5.2 in the 14-15 marketing year, 5.25, 15-16, and now they're projecting 5.3 for the next one. So all these things are I guess, positive signs for corn in general and for ethanol in particular, that that we're anticipating a fair pace of usage of corn for ethanol production.
Thanks for taking the time with us today. We appreciate it, Dan.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good day.
Dan O'Brien is with K-State Extension. He's from Kansas and joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes with the weather forecast.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
It's National Escargot Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1686, Daniel Gabriel Fahrenheit was born. He developed the Fahrenheit temperature scale and invented the mercury thermometer. Fahrenheit discovered, among other things, that water can remain liquid below its freezing point, and that the boiling point of liquids varies with atmospheric pressure. In 1844, Samuel Morse transmitted the message, "What hath God wrought?" from the U.S. Supreme Court to the Montclair station of the B&O Railway Company, the first American telegraph line. By the way, the biblical text from Numbers was selected by Annie Ellsworth, teenage daughter of the Commissioner of U.S. Patents. In 1883, the Brooklyn Bridge opened. It took 14 years to build at a cost of $18 million and was the longest suspension bridge in the world at the time. In 1945, the first Food-O-Met was installed in a Grand Union Company store in New Jersey. And in 1964, Alan Hazelton died, an American electrical engineer. He invented the first circuit, which made commercial radio possible. By 1927, some 10 million receivers with his circuit were being used by listeners in the United States. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Don Day. He's a day weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Always good to talk to you, Don. Thanks for being with us today.
Hello there.
Tell me about weather forecast for the Midwest. They'd like to wrap up the end of the planting season.
Well, you know, as we go into the end of the planting season, we are looking at a weather pattern that's going to be a little bit warmer. And there might be a little bit better spacing between weather systems coming through to produce rain. But the overall pattern is going to be one where there is going to be opportunities on an off-and-on basis for shower and thunderstorm activity. We don't necessarily see one or two storms in particular, but a favorable setup where southerly winds aloft, south-southwest winds will bring up some Gulf of Mexico moisture and help initiate shower and thunderstorm activity. So, with things in the ground or getting in the ground, hopefully this is going to be a favorable weather pattern. There will be a few wet areas that may slow folks down or delay things a little bit more. I would say it'll be the western Corn Belt that may happen the most. Places like Iowa, places like Nebraska, southern and eastern South Dakota, southern Minnesota, maybe eastern Kansas, western Missouri. Those are the areas that look to be the most wet.
And then anything else that we need to be concerned about as we look further into the end of the month of May and as we turn into the month of June?
Well, some of our long-range charts are hinting at some cool weather for the start of June. As we get into the first full week of June, we'll see if this transpires or not. But there's some indication, some hint that June may start off a little bit on the cool side. But that's something to take with a grain of salt, something to talk about next week.
China and Ukraine, parts of Russia in the northern hemisphere, also in the midst of the beginning of their growing seasons. India as well, any place that we ought to take up at this time?
Well, India certainly has made some headlines. They have been very hot and dry in some areas of India. And coming off an El Nino, that is not to be unexpected. So that's one area we're watching for some dryness and heat. China, looking at a forecast really that looks to be pretty good. Nothing too cold, nothing too wet, nothing too hot, very much average precipitation and temperatures coming their way over the next couple of weeks.
Not bad for a place that has the second largest corn crop on the planet. Pretty good size soybean crop as well. Hey, thanks so much, Don. I appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather. He's out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may listen to our programs online anytime you'd like on our website at WILLAG.org, in the Google Play Store, as well as in iTunes. Check us out online, WILLAG.org.